This is Bad Movies We Love, part of the Scheist Podcast Network.
If you're listening to this, you are the Resistance.
Hello, bad movie lovers, and welcome to a very special spotlight session here on Bad Movies We Love, where we don't just talk about the movies, we talk to the people who make them. I've really enjoyed doing this interview series, and I've been very fortunate to talk to a lot of interesting people. And in this Filmmaker in Focus episode, I was joined once again by filmmaker Robin DeVernon writing to get an update on his short film, Fatherhood, which you heard us talk about last time on the show, and to talk about the second annual Fulfillment Pictures Arts Short Film Festival from June 25th to the 27th in East Kilbride, Scotland. And listeners of the show are going to have a chance to win a free ticket to the event for all 3 days, so stay tuned at the end for details. So kick back and enjoy the interview. Robin, it's good to see you. Thanks for joining me again.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, last we spoke, you were featured in our filmmaker segment here on the show. We were talking about you working on Fatherhood, and since that has aired, you have wrapped up Fatherhood. You've completed production, correct?
Yeah, well, we've finished the film and we've done our first private screening with the cast and crew. And then now we're on the waiting game for our festival run to see when we get our premiere status.
It's great to hear.
So,
I mean, that's a great segue to get into the topic of film festivals, because you yourself run a film festival. We talked about it a decent amount last time you were here, but that was sort of in the indirect wake of you doing the festival for the first time. So this is the second year of the festival, right?
Yes, our second year, and now we're on to our full annual awards. So what we did last year is we had 10 small screening events to lead to one big annual event. And then this year we cut it into quarterly. So there was 4 screening events, and every single one that got selected into the quarterly screenings were then nominated to the annual awards. And we also included unproduced scripts this year, and we didn't do that last year.
It's very cool. Okay, so let's get into the details of how the festival works. I know submissions are already complete. I think you were watching submissions when we began to plan talking about this. So for, I guess, from the filmmaker side, since you're also a filmmaker and I'm sure you think about these things when putting the festival together, how does the process work for a filmmaker that wants to submit to the festival?
So using the platform Film Freeway, that's where we're based, which is the same with most festivals. Basically, we have we have a requirement of short films between 3 minutes to 18 minutes long. And then it's the same with the scripts between 3 pages to 18 pages long. And you can be any short, any genre, and it just has to be completed within the last 3 years. So we've had, obviously, as I mentioned, we've had the quarterly events. We've had 8 films selected, each one. We might have had something like 50 to 70 submitted within each screening. And it's just the judges pick the top 8 based on all the categories that we have at our annual event. And then the audience get to kind of watch them all. Filmmakers come along to our screenings. And it's just, we create this extra event to allow filmmakers to have more of a showcase, more screenings, because I don't know what it's like in most of the rest of the world, but in Scotland we're always complaining that we're not getting enough showcasing and not enough people watching films. And we're all about inclusivity and bringing a lot of just Joe Blogs, people that live in the streets, that people, your granny and grandpa, that are not in the industry, to come and watch the films. and have an opinion and talk to filmmakers. So yeah, we just make it a really community-based festival, and then the annual awards, everyone comes together from across the globe, and it's really exciting.
That's great that you're building a community and keeping it sort of community centric. I had talked to somebody recently who does a lot of festival stuff and has been in the industry writing for 20 plus years doing reviews. And when I had mentioned that I was going to be talking to you and talking about this film festival, they acknowledged like, oh yeah, Scotland doesn't really have like a film festival scene. And I know you and I had talked about this last time when we spoke, and the desire on your part to begin to create that. And so when it comes to, I don't want to say the awards specific part of it, but obviously there's like the first round of submissions, you watch everything, there is a panel, judging happens, and then awards are given out. That's sort of the brick and mortar side of things. But from a planning side, how do you take into account like planning screenings for all this stuff? Because I see the festival is a few days, obviously, because it's short films, you could probably pack a lot more into the schedule than you could if things were 2 hours long. So how do you sort of stagger the films that you have under your belt that were submitted and sort of do the programming for the event?
Mm-hmm. So it's all a bit of maths in a way, where I basically just figured out how many films could we screen in one day at the maximum, and that ended up being 32. So that's why we're like, okay, 4 screenings throughout the year is the max we can do. So we only have one day of the whole 3-day annual event where the films are screened, and that's the first day, and then we want to try and prioritize the rest of the festival to people to network and celebrate that they actually made a film, rather than just, oh, we're coming only for the awards and they're in their team. Because from last year as well, and my own personal experience with going to festivals, you can make friendships, connections, get jobs, and there's so many benefits from going to a festival and talking to the right person at the right time. And on the Saturday, I'm getting my days on that. On the Friday alone, we've just got three different panels where people talk about the projects who want to talk about them. There's an audience, people can talk, have a Q&A about it. And then the rest of the night is just a live music. We've got a function suite at a bar, and everyone just enjoys being together. And we do the same thing after the awards as well. We're going to have, we've not locked it in yet, but we're really wanting to have a ceilidh and get everyone to dance and have the Scottish tradition after we've had an awards night, and just keep everyone together rather than just we're in our own wee sort of cliques and groups. Because I think that's something that we've had a lot of problems in the past in Scotland. People have gone into groups and it's been very cliquey, and they don't network or collaborate as much as we would like them. But that has changed a wee bit since we've last spoken, actually. People are starting to collaborate more from what I'm seeing, and it is getting a bit friendlier and it's good. It's awesome.
Well, you know, I'm sure a few pints and some live music and some dancing will help loosen everybody up. But since you mentioned Scotland specifically and wanting to sort of open some of those doors so people can be a little bit more collaborative, what, I guess, percentage of the people submitting work are Scottish filmmakers? Is this sort of landlocked to Scotland, or, you know, is it an international festival where you have people actually coming in from all over the world?
So it's definitely an international film festival. We've got I already know we've got confirmed people coming from America, potential people from Puerto Rico, people coming from Switzerland. It is very international. This year, compared to the first year, we have actually had a lot more Scottish filmmakers submit and actually selected. So we were really pleased to see that, because it is just all based on merit, and we weren't going to subject, okay, because they're Scottish, we'll select them. It's all been down to, if it's a good film, that's what the audience wants to see. So we're going to make sure it's the best film. But yeah, like last year, as you'll know, our winner of the whole year came all the way from Sydney, Australia. So it's been a very international film festival.
That's quite a long journey to travel from Australia for that, but very cool that you've been able to make it international, especially like doing this with only the second year to be able to open it up to people from all over the world. I want to ask you a question about the categories for the films, because just based on it being 3 to 18 minutes, I feel like a 3-minute short film in competition with an 18-minute short film may be a little lopsided. So is it broken down by time? Is it broken down regionally or by subject matter?
So I think it's all the elements that go into a film, even if it is the soundtracks, the way it's been produced, production design. But I think you can, it's actually more powerful if you can tell a really powerful story in a few minutes than you can in 18 minutes. So if there's been a short film that's come, because we have had some that are about 5 minutes. We've not had any at 3 minutes that have been selected into the annual. But yeah, there's some very powerful films that can be told under 10 minutes. And yeah, don't know if that answers your question.
No, I was just curious about how the actual like categories for the awards at the festival break down. Is it segregated by genre or length of film or like region? Or is it all just, they all go into one pot and there's like a jury award and maybe like fan favorite type of thing?
So yeah, no, it's, they're all in the one pot. They're all nominated for all 15 awards, apart from one of them is the unproduced, and just for the 4 selected unproduced scriptwriters. And all the judges, so the annual event, there's 5 judges for the annual, and they'll go through every single film. They'll pick their top 3 favourite films per category, and then there'll be another round, and then the ones that have got the most votes, the judges will go over it again, picking out what ones are their favourite. It's very similar to the way, like myself being a BAFTA member as well, when they do the voting as a full collective, you're voting which films you like or what few people you want to be nominated. But I basically also make it that after they've voted, they have to give reasons why they picked that one, and giving a bit more of a detail. So then if there is a clear draw, and but some of them have said, no, it's very obvious that they want this one over that one, we make the judgment and go, okay, it's clearly this one they want, but they've kind of given that one the benefit of the doubt or something.
Yeah.
So there is process of kind of breaking it down.
You have to show your work a little bit. You don't just get to pick and choose. But you've watched all of them now, right?
Oh, yes. We've watched every film that's been selected, yeah. And we had, over the whole year, I think we've had almost 250 submissions.
Wow. And how many actually make it? You said 32?
32 in the whole year.
And that's a long day of movie watching. Even though short films, like I've gone to some of the short film blocks at a theater where it's like maybe like 3.5-4 hours of all short films, and it still is a lot. Do you have intermissions and sort of like social stuff planned in between? It's like, hey, we have a continental breakfast at the theater, so you get up early. We're screening at 8 o'clock in the morning. I imagine it's still an all day event.
Oh yeah. So the good thing is we've got a cafe bar that's literally at the door of where all the screenings are. So we've got it. Screenings start from 10 in the morning, And it's like every 3 to 4 films, there's another 10 to 15 minute break. So people can quickly have a coffee, or they can go get something quickly ordered to eat or at the toilet. And then they come in and we've got the next 4. And it might have been 4 that they've already seen, or 3 they've already seen. So then they might want to take that 1 hour break and go out and get their lunch. So it's all in hour segments, and that goes up till about 7 o'clock at night. Okay. So 10 till 7. And then there's more networking afterwards.
Yeah. You know, what I heard from a lot of filmmakers and creatives and people that work the festival circuit, it's really not so much about the awards. Like, of course, it's nice to take home a trophy, say, hey, you know, best in show at this mm-hmm. festival. But from what I gather from most people, it's really the networking that seems to be not just the thing that is most valuable, but the thing that is most enjoyable. So when you structured your setup, it's 3 days, and 2 of those are essentially like networking and socializing events. When planning your day and planning the event, or the events plural, for those days, how do you view how you want to structure those secondary days after the films are done?
Mm-hmm. I think it comes down to being a filmmaker yourself. If you're going to a festival, what would you want to be doing if you're going to, and how would you want it paced out? So we wanted it, you've got a full heavy day where you're watching all these films on the first day, and then we've got it until midday. So they've got the whole morning the next day to just chill out. People might have networked the night before and gone and met up for coffee during the morning. And then, because we actually have spread out the festival between 3 different locations as well, I should have mentioned. But I think if you feel like you can brave the event, and you can say, like, I'm going to have a wee, I'll come by an hour later or whatever, I feel like that's a good structure. I don't know. There's been times I've been at festivals in the past and you're either sitting in the middle of a screening feeling like I need to go to the toilet, and they're not stopping these films. I think if something can breathe, it's going to be feel comfortable for everyone.
No, that's great. I want to talk a little bit about sort of growth trajectory and sort of looking back on the first event, and now that you've done a lot of the legwork for the second event. I mean, it's coming up here in like 2 months, basically. What was the size of the first one compared to the size of this one? And how do you, or what do you think mm-hmm. that means for the future of the festival?
Okay, so the first year we had 19 films selected for our annual events, and we didn't have any scripts. So it was purely about film, and there was only 10 awards, but we did have a higher cash prize because we managed to put a more investment in to start it off. But we've got more businesses getting involved in this one, higher sponsors, that bigger names. And we've also just, there's more to do and more people coming in this one. I think for the growth for next year would be to, so I still like the idea of keeping it in a 3-day event. I think if you make it a 1-day event or a 2-day event, it's almost like people will just come for the awards. But if you're keeping it a longer stretch, it makes it worthwhile for people that are flying across from like America or Sydney or whatever. You want to give them the full experience and enough time to go around everyone. So I think, going back to making it breathable, if I'm upscaling it and bringing more people, the spaces might get bigger. There'll be more interesting things and opportunities for people to get involved, maybe like a festival market for people to get work or figure out what is available here in Scotland if they want to collaborate with people here. And yeah, just lots of pictures and videos and people running around getting everyone's best side.
Yeah, well, you mentioned working with more sponsors and better, bigger sponsors like Bad Movies We Love. You know, I'll make sure I get my advert in there somewhere.
Love it.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about not just the script section, but how that sort of gives you a new venue for recruitment for the festival, because you didn't do it in the first year. So now that you're having these are unproduced scripts that are coming in. And obviously, like, the networking side of things is very valuable there, because if I come in with a script that I haven't made, there's a lot of people that might help me make that. But in terms of what the festival, like, competition side does, are you working with distributors at this point to pick up this kind of stuff? Or is this all sort of like internal within the festival?
So at the moment, there's no distributor involved. That would be something that would be nice to find someone in the future. But it's, again, like, as a filmmaker or scriptwriter, you want to find the right one that's justifiable per your project. So if I was to find a distributor to come on board, it would have to be one that is quite universal for all genres, rather than just, oh, we're only into horror, so it needs to be a horror one. And that can be quite difficult to find, especially in Scotland. So I would probably have to outsource elsewhere. But just going on to how we didn't have the unproduced script last year and now we do this year, that was just solely by listening to our nominees at the first year annual event. I asked them what would they like to see in the next year, and I think it was at least four of the winners all asked to get unproduced script, get more about producing and script or writers and stuff. So that's where most of the new awards came from, by talking to people, talking to the filmmakers that are part of this and want this to grow.
And you being a filmmaker yourself and having gone through the fundraising and having, you know, very direct knowledge of how much money and time it costs to produce something, are you looking to get into the actual production, like, rather than a distributor? I mean, you have a production company, so is that something that you're looking into potentially in the future, of maybe just like stepping in? You and I, when we talked last time, you talked about being in a producer role or the suggester sometimes. So it seems like you just really enjoy being involved in the process. Part of that is making your own films, but if you could step in a capacity where you're sort of just helping on the production side of things, like through Fulfillment Pictures, is that something that you're looking to do in the future?
I think it's something I could easily be roped into doing, okay, but I don't think I should do it, because then I would be doing too many things. But I would love to find the right distributor to then build that relationship with. And considering I've only briefly mentioned to Nick that I'm developing my first feature as well, I'm going to try and learn as well through that who's a good distributor. If it works, then that would be someone I could try and then promote and see if they can help other people. So yeah, we've on that note, just a small bit, we're putting a lot of work on top of the festival to try and make a good feature, learn from our own experiences, instead of just telling people this is how to do it without being able to have done it ourselves.
Yeah, that's fair. Do you know who Jim Cummings is?
Rings a bell, the name?
He's an indie filmmaker here in the States, but I went to a talk where there was like a theater takeover with Aaron Moorhead and Justin Benson, creative director team behind like Moon Knight and The Endless and Synchronic and a bunch of other very like indie cult favorite kind of stuff. They were talking to Jim Cummings, and he was essentially telling them to become their own distributors, like. And he had a path forward for them, and I think he's done it himself. And I don't have that personal relationship with him, but there may be some sort of playbook available for becoming a distributor in that way. So yeah, maybe look him up. I'll send you his information and take a look at his stuff. But I want to ask you a little bit about your team here at the festival, because I know you're a smart guy, you're a busy guy, but you're not doing this alone. So tell me a little bit about the team most directly responsible for helping you put all this stuff together.
Of course. So Fulfillment Pictures itself is four of us. I am the founder, and I have started it over 6 years ago now. But I've also got my wife, Lauren. She is a phenomenal actress and producer and writer. So she's helped out a lot with a lot of the nitty gritty business stuff. She's the one, the mother of the group. She's the one that helps us all through everything. And then we have Olivia Chapman and Kate Smith, who are brilliant actresses as well, but they're really proactive and really good at either presenting or coming up with brilliant ideas. And a lot of the social media stuff lately has been them as well. So they've really taken a lot off my back and helped by just helping us run things. They're Olivia actually works in a cinema as well, so she understands what it's like with film, people coming in to see films all the time and being that front face. So she's been great with that as well. So we're just a group of filmmakers ourselves and actors that just love film.
And as the festival grows and your production company grows along with it, is that something where you would need to expand the team sort of out of necessity? Are you just generally looking to expand the team and build as well? Because I see for the annual event, you have the option to become a volunteer. So for people that might be interested in volunteering, what does volunteering entail?
So in terms of volunteering, that's because we're all trying to be one big part of a community to help the festival grow. If you've got the same passion that we've got, because we don't make any money into this at all, it's all about how we can help benefit an opportunity for everyone. There's photographers, videographers, people that want to be the ticket staff on the door or just be involved in telling people what's happening at the event. We have that opportunity for people to volunteer and get involved. I think there's loads of festivals out there that also have volunteers. Like a really good one for that is the Edinburgh Film Fest. Not Edinburgh one, but they do it as well. I was thinking the Glasgow Film Festival. Both Edinburgh and Glasgow both do really good voluntary programs, and especially for those cities where their venues can be all over the place, and they're having to help people get directed and where to go. It's really useful. And we've got three different locations. So if we needed a volunteer to just tell people, this is where it is, show them, like, this is an example on the back of their books where they've got QR codes to show them on Google Maps how to get around. Just a sort of information point.
Smart. Well, since you mentioned Glasgow and Edinburgh, I want to know about East Kilbride, where you are having this festival. What does the town mean to the festival, and what does the festival mean to the town?
So East Kilbride is actually a new town. It was basically developed in the 1970s as a working class extent to Glasgow. And it was bringing a lot of people in there for jobs, but it's all very, very just full of houses, and the place itself isn't the best at the moment. The town centre itself is crumbling, and they're wanting to do a whole lot of housing plans and knock things down. So there's not much going on in East Kilbride for over 75,000 people living there. And it's a way for them to escape into something of the arts. That's how we've seen it. Because there was nothing, and there never has been a film festival in East Kilbride, to my knowledge, for over 10 years. There used to be the South Lanarkshire Festival, but that was more for a student sort of group, and it was a wee bit further away. So it was the first official film festival in East Kilbride, and we've put it right in the village, which is the oldest part of East Kilbride, which used to be just the cobbled streets, and the farmers used to have that.
Wow. So how many people are coming into town for this festival in June? Do you know that already?
So currently we don't know. It's the typical thing since post-COVID. People like to buy their tickets a few days before or the day of. Like our previous event we had there, I think about half of the people that attended bought the tickets on the door. So I think it's just, that's the human race at the moment. We do know that we've got nominees traveling and attending from across the globe, because they have bought their tickets and they have already said they bought accommodation. But people like to leave things last minute. But we've got our screening event, the max capacity is just about 100 people. And then our actual awards and our full theatre for the Q&A is up at 300. So I would personally aim for a good 30% of that. 33% is the sweet point at any sort of event. So I would base that on the 300. So I would love to try and get 100 people, because that's a good group. It's enough for people to network, enjoy the space. It's not too crowded. The bar we've got is just over 100 max capacity, so people can enjoy the space without it being too compact. So yeah, if it ends up being more, we've got the space, because the Village Theatre opens up to two separate locations as well.
Well, that's nice. But you also, I mean, you've got 100 people coming into this town, being there for 3 days, spending money in the economy there. Do you have relationships with like restaurants and other businesses around the area to sort of accommodate and prepare for the influx of people?
Of course. So not so much in the within the sort of restaurants. They know it exists and we have spoken to them about it, but a lot of them, because of that uncertainty of telling them an exact number, a lot of businesses are like, well, we can't figure out our ROI if you can't tell us an exact number. So we're like, okay, well, we can base it on our previous year. But we have had the head of tourism for the area and the local sort of railway sort of line, they've all promoted everything we've been doing, and we've had the council involved, and it's the there's been a lot of people that has supported the business in the area, and hopefully that will grow, and we'll see a lot of that over the next 2 months of people getting involved as we're pushing more content out now about the annual event.
I just missed out on my paid vacation opportunity to be in Scotland at the time of the festival. But good to know that if I end up there and I go to a restaurant, I'm not going to get the Fulfillment Pictures discount on my food. But it would be a lovely vacation to be a part of. It still could happen. You know, the future is bright. I want to mention that you have some really good testimonials on the website for people that are interested. If you go to fulfillmentpictures.com, check out the annual event, and you can see some of the testimonials from filmmakers who have attended last year's. But, you know, looking forward, obviously, you're working on your first feature. You've been a short filmmaker for the last, I don't know, 5-10 years or so?
God, I even had to try and figure out what age I was there. I would probably say coming up 9 years now, probably.
So, you know. Both what it's like to work in short film as a medium and the value that that carries, and how it's kind of a different muscle to flex than making a feature, but are still taking on making your first feature here. So, as you see, I guess, the like trajectory of the festival moving forward into the future, is it something that you're wanting to open up to features, or is this something where you want to keep it to shorts because of the value of short film?
Yeah. So that's been the ongoing question I've had constantly. I would keep it just short, not only because of the name of the festival, but because I do feel there's a lot of people that have got a short attention span, especially you'd be surprised, a lot of the older people that come along to our events in the community, but they like the idea of they're getting these wee small concepts of these worlds, and they don't have to feel like they're having to prioritize a full 3-hour Scorsese film to watch. And it's nice because you get a room full of local filmmakers as well, and they don't know who those filmmakers are until the end at times, and they could just go up to a random person talking about, oh, I like this film but because of this, and I didn't like that bit, and then they find out they've been talking to someone who made the film, and it's almost like the nicest feedback possible, hearing it from your wee granny Betty down the road. But keeping it all shorts, I think it would be, I don't know how the big festivals manage it. It's a gigantic job for any judge to have to sit through hundreds of feature films and to judge them. It's easier because you've got a lot more time with shorts.
Yeah.
And you can watch them a couple of times sometimes before making a decision.
Well, I wasn't necessarily going to ask this question, but since we're here, how do you view the future of short filmmaking? Because I know there has been like sort of a push like behind the curtain for verticals, which they are referred to. So stuff that you can watch traditionally oriented on your phone in full screen. There have been not insubstantial investments made into the development of these types of shorts as TV shows or as one-offs. I mean, obviously the advent of TikTok and like reels on Instagram and stuff have kind of shifted short form visual storytelling into a new space. And I had worked on a short film project with a bunch of other filmmakers, like 100 other filmmakers on this one project where we all contributed a 1-minute scene. And that was required to be shot on our phone in like the horizontal alignment. But now we've moved to where, you know, there's iPhone or smartphone film festivals. There are these new ways of making verticals and telling your stories in like a much different physical vision of what the story is going to look like. Are you like interested in that kind of stuff? Do you feel like you need to open up the festival to the stuff that might be getting more popular in, say, the next handful of years? That might be more popular than short films right now? I don't even know, honestly, because of the way that people consume content on their phone.
That's true. Like there probably is already like the TikTok film awards, yeah, sort of thing, and it's all vertical. But I actually got into a full conversation with Lorna Riley, who's won last year at our festival, and we both agreed that the big guns of the industry, the gatekeepers, Netflix, Amazon, they should be the ones that should be also opening it up and having a category for shorts.
They should.
Instead of it just being the BAFTA winners or the Oscar winners, they should be creating programs to support filmmakers. They've got the budgets, they've got the funding, and it's just a way of them distributing. And people submit just like they would to the likes of Omelito and all these other big channels that they have on YouTube. Even Omelito could partner with them, and then it's like in Amazon, you spend an extra $3.99 for Omelito shorts. It would be a way to showcase films, short films, worldwide, much better. Like, I think that would be the best thing for short filmmakers, rather than the hope of something taking off after the credibility you get at a festival.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we had more filmmakers and artists running some of those companies, or at least heading up the divisions that, you know, run filmmaking and creative stuff at those companies, we might see some of that stuff. But as long as we have kind of executives in place and people that are interested in maximizing shareholder value or profitability or whatever. We're not really going to see that because there are some companies that put together the blocks of short films when Oscar time rolls around, which is great. I love that. But, you know, considering how many short films get made every year, you probably could do that where you sell a ticket to, hey, we programmed 4 or 5 short films that are all from this one region and we're doing that. And you dedicate one of your 16 screens to showing short films, or you make packages of them on Amazon, Hulu, Netflix. So that way it's not just, oh, David Lynch's short film collection is on Netflix, right? And given the fact that streaming is so competitive, I'm surprised that we actually haven't seen something like that, because you can see some, and there are, you know, Hulu does one around Halloween called Huluween, where it's like 2 to 3 minutes and they put together a package of horror shorts, which is cool. And I love it. And it's a great way to, I think, open up some of those doors, because it seems like the model now for a lot of people is make your short film independently, put it on YouTube, you get your audience. And then as you sort of have a captive audience, you use that to leverage into making the feature film. Like we saw it happen with the guys that did Bring Her Back and Talk to Me. We saw it just recently with Iron Lung. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been a few of them lately where it's been someone who's a YouTube filmmaker who's converted that.
That's how David F. Sandberg started off. He did the short for Lights Out, then got the funding for the feature, because I think it was James Wan that recognized him from that and discovered him. But it's filtered, you're drowned out by other films on YouTube. It's a great platform, it's brilliant, but it doesn't sustain a sort of career. It doesn't help finance filmmakers, and Netflix and Amazon are missing. And it's not just them. There's hundreds of other different platforms, but they are missing a big money pit that they could be making.
Yeah. Well, since, you know, we've covered a lot of ground, I want to just give you the opportunity to, you know, talk about whatever else you want to talk about, like regarding the festival and what the future looks like for you.
So the festival alone, we haven't mentioned the dates. They are between the 25th to the 27th of June this year. The screening day alone is £20, and you get to see all the films and networking afterwards. And then it's £30 for the Friday and Saturday for all the panels and live music. You've got the awards and then even more live music. And it's... And compared to other festivals I've seen in the past, it's not that bad. There was a festival that I went to once, and their VIP tickets were charging above £500. And you're like, whoa, okay. But we just got the basic ones, and regardless of having a VIP ticket or not, you don't need to have those things. And it's, as we were saying, it's all about the networking. You gain so much from just being in the room. I like films. Don't know what else to say.
Well, I mean, I would assume so, given that you've dedicated so much time and personal resources to this. But it's been great to chat with you. It always is. And I wish you the best of luck. Maybe we can work something out where you can comp a ticket and I will buy the ticket for somebody to go to the festival, and we'll do it as a sort of promo. Granted, a lot of my listeners are, you know, US based. We've had a lot of people in Vietnam listening lately, though, so you never know who's listening. But generally speaking, the UK area is the second biggest market for the show. So yeah, maybe we'll put something about that in the show notes.
We're so glad to have you on board as a sponsor and supporter as well, because you've supported us and we will do the same thing back. We have our welcome booklets that goes out to every nominee at our festival, and it's got all the information about the films, about our sponsors, and they'll be able to scan a QR code and find out all the information about the podcast. And maybe the next episode you do might be another filmmaker that someone at my festival might discover.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's amazing.
Exactly. And I mean, that's what I love doing, is talking to, you know, filmmakers and getting behind the scenes in their creative process and their motivations. And the thing that fascinates me is why artists choose to make art. Granted, like, the end product a lot of the time is interesting in and of itself, and I can watch a movie and be like, oh, I love that movie. But the more I peel away those layers, I get more and more curious about why the person who made it decided to make it. And I feel like those are really interesting conversations to have. So anybody that listens to this and goes to the film festival and you open that booklet, you're going to see a big logo for Bad Movies We Love with a QR code that's going to take you right to the show. And of course, I would hopefully include my email in there so that people can get in touch with me and we can do some more one-on-ones like this.
Yeah, that would be phenomenal. Yeah, definitely get in touch with them.
Yeah, it's good times. Well, Robin, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you for coming on the show.
No problem. Thank you, Nick.
Great, and best of luck with the festival. So, as you heard, Bad Movies We Love is going to be one of the sponsors of the Fulfillment Pictures Arts Short Film Festival this year. And as part of that sponsorship, Robin very generously agreed to include a free ticket for one lucky listener of this show. So head to the show notes and click on Ticket Giveaway, and you can see the details and you can sign up to be eligible to win a free ticket. But keep in mind, this is a film festival that takes place in Scotland, so the ticket is comped, but the travel is not. But if you are one of our listeners in the UK area, it's a great opportunity for you to get access to a film festival with a bunch of local filmmakers and international filmmakers and see what the festival circuit is all about. We will leave the entry form open for a little bit and then announce the winner on May 25th, 1 month before the festival. Thanks for joining us for this spotlight session right here on Bad Movies We Love. If you enjoyed the conversation, be sure to follow the show, leave us a review, and share it with your fellow movie lovers. Thanks to Robin for coming back on the show and talking to us about his plans for the film festival and for giving us an update on his film, Fatherhood. You can find Robin on Instagram at Robin DeVernon Writing. There's some underscores in there, so check the show notes for easy link. And if you're interested in either attending the film festival or volunteering, make sure you go to fulfillmentpictures.com, click on the tab that says FP Arts Short Film Festival, and you'll see how you can advertise, volunteer, grab a ticket, all of that. Links for that will be up in the show notes, and while you're there, make sure you check out the rest of the Scheist Podcast Network at scheistpodnet.captivate.fm. And until next time, stay curious and take care.